Let's turn in the Word of God to Numbers chapter 23. Numbers 23, beginning to read at the opening verse. And Balaam said unto Balak, Build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, Stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure the Lord will come to meet me, and whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went to an high place. And God met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, Return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, Come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? How shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak said unto Balaam, What hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And he answered and said, Must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? We'll end the reading there at the 12th verse. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we know that every true preacher, every true prophet of God must take heed to speak that which God puts in our mouths. We want to be like the prophets of the Old Testament, speaking as thus saith the Lord. And so we pray that thou wilt help this preacher tonight to bring the message. Pray for the infilling of God, the Holy Spirit. Without thee we can do nothing. If a work is to be accomplished in any heart, then God must do it. And Lord, you have given the means, and the means, of course, are your word and prayer. And you've given the Holy Spirit to convince, reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And you've given the Holy Spirit to be on to the ministers of the gospel all that they need. And so we seek for his power tonight. Come and abide with us and do us good. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to draw your attention to one of the great and famous statements of the Bible. And the words of Balaam here, where he says in the 10th verse, Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. Many years ago, I was given a copy of Ireland's Saturday Night. I was the minister in Port of Oge, and I'm almost sure it was Jim Watson was visiting one Saturday night, and he gave me a copy of this because it had an interview with one of the famous motorcyclists in Northern Ireland, a man by the name of Robert Dunlop. And Robert was being interviewed and asked various questions, and the answers that he gave were quite remarkable. For example, he was asked, What is your favourite place? And he said, My home. That was a good answer. What is your greatest fear? He said, Powerful people in government who make decisions about the future of the country and the world. I don't have any fears for myself, but I have fears for my kids. He was asked the question, What personality trait do you most dislike in others? And he said, greed. What is your idea of happiness? He said, a good marriage and contentment with what things that you've got. What would your motto be? If you're going to do something, be dedicated to it and do it properly. And then he was asked the question, how would you like to die? And Robert replied, hopefully, as a Christian. Here's a worldly-minded, unconverted man who had many good ideals about life, who faced danger and death in his worldly occupation. And what was his longing as he expressed how he would like to die? I would like to die as a Christian. Isn't it true to say that the majority of those who are without God, who are still in their sin, possess the same aspiration, the same desire, especially those that know the gospel, people that are familiar with God's word, and they know the great truths of life and death and the great issues of eternity, and you were to ask them the question concerning death and the hereafter, how would you like to die? Where would you like to go? Most will say, well, I would like to die as a Christian. I would like to die as one who is ready to meet God. I would like to die and know with assurance in my heart that it's well with me and I'm going to heaven. Well, this longing is nothing new. It has been with us in every age. All men seek happiness in the life to come. You ask any sensible person who has any honest consideration about the future, and that's how it is with them. Our text speaks about a false prophet by the name of Balaam, who makes a remarkable statement about death. Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. But Balaam died as a lost soul. He never truly knew the Lord, and he died without the Lord. Oh, he knew about God. In some respects, he feared God. He was convinced about many things, and if you just read these chapters from the book of Numbers, you will see statement after statement that he made. And if you were to just to look at those statements, you would maybe conclude this man must have known the Lord. But we know, especially from the New Testament account, he was not a true child of God. He did not truly know the Lord. And yet he wants to die as one who was ready, one who was right with God. The most important consideration when it comes to our death is not simply the fact that we die, but in what state we die, what spiritual state we die in. Are we right with God? Are we ready to meet the Lord? And so I want to take the words of Balaam tonight, and I want to think about this subject, wanting to die as a Christian. Wanting to die as a Christian. I believe that is what Balaam is expressing in this verse of Scripture. You'll notice, first of all, that he describes a certain day. And the day that he is describing is the day of his death. Let me die. He's thinking about the inevitable. He's thinking about that time when he must leave this scene. You know, death is something that is undeniable. You can't deny the reality of death. It's all around us, everywhere you look. Death is something that is unavoidable. You cannot avoid that appointment with God, that moment in which you must leave this world. And death is universal. It affects all men. God is no respecter of persons when it comes to dying. When it comes to that appointment, there's absolutely nothing that we can do. Doesn't matter how rich we are, all the money cannot buy our souls back. Doesn't matter how influential we are. You might have great influence in this world, in society, with other people, but all your influence will not stop your soul leaving its body. Doesn't matter how high ranking in society you are, or how healthy and how strong you are. We have seen healthy and strong men die. Whenever it comes to that moment, I must go. I must. Balaam thinks about his own death. And that's a good thing. I'm not saying that we should run around every day with a kind of a morbid perspective, always thinking about, I'm going to die. But we should think about death. We should think about that day in which we must leave this life. I must die. Lord, teach us to number our days, was the prayer that Moses made in the 90th Psalm, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And it's good to think that way. We can't escape meeting death. The patriarch Job says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. His days are determined. The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. And so there is an allotted space given to us. There is a boundary line, and we're not going to cross that boundary line. Job speaks there about the bounds. And we will not get beyond that line that God has already marked out in his calendar. Job went on to say, for I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. Solomon says, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And that is so. The wise woman in David's day, she said, for we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again, neither doth God respect any person. And in the New Testament, you know the text, it's appointed unto man once to die. Here is a day that you and I must face. Here is an appointment that we must keep. Men are keeping it every day. You just need to listen to the news any day, and we hear about men dying. Just need to read the obituary columns in any newspaper, and there they are, name after name of those who have passed out into eternity. We see the freshly dug graves, all proclaiming the reality of death. There's hardly a family here, I am sure, who hasn't been visited by the visitor of death. And that visitor has come knocking on your door. And you know what it is for some loved one in the family, some friend, to be taken out into eternity. And of course the question is, upon whose door will this visitor come knocking upon next? My door? Your door? We do not know, but one day we're going to die. And Balaam is describing a certain day, the day of his death. But secondly, Balaam is defining a certain disposition. And he's speaking here about the righteous. Let me die the death of the righteous. Balaam is talking about a particular standing or state before God. He's talking here about being righteous. Now, to be righteous presupposes that a change has taken place in your life. Because we are not righteous, not of ourselves, not from the moment that we are born. Man in his natural estate is not righteous. There is none righteous. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Rome, no, not one. There's only two types of people in this world. As God looks upon this scene of time, those that are righteous and those who are unrighteous. When we speak about being righteous, it is a state of being right. It is the same word that is often translated just. It refers to that gift bestowed upon those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to the saving of their souls, who as a result are brought into a right relationship with God. We're led here, of course, to the great doctrine of justification. It deals with the subject of how a man, sinful, depraved, unholy, separated from God, condemned in his sight, can be made righteous and just in the eyes of a thrice holy God. The scripture asks the question, how can a man be justified with God? How can he be clean that is born of a woman? A most important question. And it brings us to the consideration in our own lives. Am I right with God? Am I just in his sight? Am I saved? Am I on my way to heaven? Because only the justified ones can enter heaven. Paul reminds us, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And therefore, it is imperative that we know beyond all shadow of a doubt, that I am right with God, because if I'm not, then I will be cast out forever, and I will hear those words from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, there's only one way that we can be made righteous, and that is through Christ. The Apostle Paul makes it abundantly clear when he wrote to the church at Rome, and I've already quoted from Romans chapter 3. Let me just read some verses with you from verse 20. Reminds us here there's only one way to be made righteous with God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And we ought to take in verse 28 as well. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. How can a man be just with God? How can a man be brought into a righteous state before heaven? Through faith in Jesus Christ and all that Jesus Christ came to do, who Jesus is and what he came to do when he was here in this earth. The way of being made righteous and just before God and accepted by him is a way that is marked out by the cross, marked out by the blood, marked out by the substitutionary work of the Redeemer, received by faith alone in that redeeming work. Is this your hope tonight? What are you trusting in? What are you resting in for your eternal security? And of course, the evidence that that work has been done, that you have been made righteous in the sight of God, is the new life that you live as a Christian. The evidence is there. It produces fruit in our lives. It leads us to what we call practical obedience or righteousness of life. Because that's the great evidence. If I have been made righteous, then I will live righteously in this world. You can't say that you're a Christian if you don't live righteously, if you live opposite to what it is to be righteous in the sight of God. The Apostle John says, he that doeth righteousness is righteous. So Balaam describes a certain day, the day of death. He defines a certain disposition to be made righteous, the righteous, he speaks about it here. And then thirdly, he declares a certain desire. And it's here encapsulated in this line of scripture. Here's his desire. Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. Balaam realized that his soul was immortal, that there was an afterlife, that death did not end at all, that the grave was not the finish. He didn't want to die as a wicked man. The Bible has a lot to say about what it is to die as a wicked man, to go out into eternity unprepared and unready. And Balaam didn't want to die that way. No, he wanted to die as one who was righteous. So the question must be asked, what does it mean to die the death of the righteous? Well, let me just in the closing minutes suggest to you some things that it means. It means, first of all, to die in Christ. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. To be in Christ means that you are sheltered and you are shielded from the eternal wrath. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And if you're in the Lord tonight, praise God, you will die in the Lord, as the scripture speaks about. It also means to fall asleep in Jesus. Christ, referring to the death of his friend Lazarus, he said, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth," describing the passing of the child of God, the one that is in Christ, out into eternity. It is to fall asleep in Christ. Remember Stephen, noted as the first Christian martyr, there at the end of chapter 7 of the Acts of the Apostles, in verse 59 and 60, we're told about his death. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down. He cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, and here's how the Holy Spirit records the death of this martyr, says he fell asleep. Oh, that's what it is when you come to the end of the road as a child of God, one that has been made righteous in the sight of the Lord. You close your eyes on earth and you open your eyes in glory. You fall asleep in Christ. It also means to have the near sense of the presence of the Lord Jesus with you in the hour of death. Remember the psalmist in the Psalm 23, the psalm that we all love. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." David was absolutely certain that when he came to the hour of his death, as one who had been made righteous in the sight of God, that the shepherd of his soul, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be there to take him by the hand, to lead him down into the chilly waters of death, but to bring him victoriously across to the other side, into glory itself. He had that confidence the Lord is there. I must have the Savior with me, and his eye the way must guide, till I reach the vale of Jordan, till I cross the rolling tide. To die the death of the righteous means to go home, to be with Christ. You know, even our earthly homes are special to us. We can say there's no place like home. Well, for the child of God, the righteous soul, there's no place like the home that we're heading to, even heaven itself. One day it's going to be absent from the body, and it's going to be present with the Lord. And the Lord is in glory. He's in the heavenly mansions that he has prepared for his own dear people. And Christians, tonight we're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. No, our sight ought to be upon that which is yet to be, upon heaven itself. That's the home of the child of God. And to die the death of the righteous simply means to go home, to our heavenly home. It also means to be carried into the place of comfort. Remember the beggar Lazarus? When he came to die, it says the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. There's no real comfort or rest or happiness and joy in this world. This world really is a valley of tears and a place of sorrow. But there's coming a day when we shall enter the full joy of our salvation, when we go home to be with the Lord, when we're carried into the place of comfort. What a day that will be. To die the death of the righteous is to gain all and to lose nothing. "For to me to live is Christ," said Paul, "and to die is gain." And what is the gain? Well, to be delivered from this present evil world, to see Christ, to go to be with our loved ones who have passed on before, to be in that place where there is no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain. You think of the final chapters of the book of Revelation. There's a wonderful little study there of the no mores of heaven. Those things that that curse the earth and curse our experience while we live on this earth. They're gone forevermore, for they're not there on the fair shores of glory. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. To die the death of the righteous means to enter the fullness and the joy of heaven forevermore. We only get a glimpse, but we do have a glimpse in the scriptures of what heaven is going to be like. Eye hath not seen as far as the bodily eyes are concerned, and ear hath not heard as far as these physical ears have heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. And truly it is, we haven't fully seen, we haven't fully heard all that there is to hear and see about heaven. Or we haven't fully understood it in our hearts. But the next verse does go on to say, but it has been revealed unto thee. And the Bible gives us a revelation of what heaven is going to be like. But one day we're going to see it. And what a day that will be when we enter the fullness and the joy of heaven forevermore. No wonder Balaam wanted to die this way. To die the death of the righteous. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Sadly, this was only a desire of Balaam. It was not a reality. It was not an experience for him. And there's many who are like him. They want to die the death of the righteous. They want their last end to be like that of the righteous. But they're not prepared for the life of the righteous. And they're not prepared for the way of the righteous. On the golden streets of heaven, all men hope to walk someday. Yet so many are not willing to accept the living way. But while others build on good works or opinions, if they may, hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood. What are you depending upon tonight? Are you right in the sight of God? Are you righteous in the sight of God? Do you desire to go to heaven someday? Do you want to die as a Christian, as this man expresses here? As Robert Dunlop all those years ago expressed also. And the sad thing is, we don't know how Robert died. All those years ago when I was given Ireland Saturday Night, I didn't know the man. Didn't know much about the racing sport that he was in. But of course, I've been in Ballymoney for over 23 years now, and we've got to know the famous name of the Dunlops. Joey's dead. Robert's dead. William's dead. And the great question is, where are they? Thank God Robert Dunlop's wife, a little while ago, came to trust Christ as her Savior. Remember, she started to attend the church. The boys had come through children's meetings years ago. And she came out, and after a few weeks, she said, I want to be saved. With the joy of pointing her to Christ. 3 weeks after that, her son William was killed in the racing accident. And for many months, she just couldn't face coming out to church and face people. Recently, she's been out again. We thank God for that. How would you like to die? Hopefully, as a Christian, Robert said. I'm asking you tonight, how would you like to die? Hopefully, as a Christian. The death of the righteous. Well, if you have not been made righteous in the sight of God, you will not die the death of the righteous. You need to know Christ. Oh, may the Lord bring you to the Savior tonight. If you're not a Christian, so that you will live the life of the righteous and on that day die the death of the righteous when God calls you home. Let us pray.